Welcome back. We are here at the STL Up Late stage with our submission to the Tiny Desk Concert Contest. We are Has It To You Booty, and this is Movers and Shakers. Professor Funk.
Thank you, Dr. Music. Many of our viewers at home have complained that things just aren't working out. Things just ain't going right.
Man.
Do you have any advice for them? Tell them what to do.
Well, my advice would be, you've got to move. My name is Ryan Stewart. I'm the lead singer of Has It To You Booty, St. Louis's premier funk band. And I met Pat here through the band, through the music. But interesting story is that we've met years before he actually joined Has It To You Booty. But I'll let him tell that story.
Well, my old band, Thos, which was like a progressive rock three-piece, played with Has It To You Booty. Was that 1.0?
So how'd you actually come to be making music together?
Hazard needed a bass player.
Indeed.
Their bass player was moving on. He wanted to spend more time with a cover project. And Hazard was kind of in the middle area. Hazard 2.0 was kind of looking for the success it had had as Hazard 1.0 in college and the big fans, and kind of struggling to be adults and find a vision post-college or whatever.
None of us wanted to grow up, honestly.
And then so the Hazard 2.0 was with the post-college bass player, who then quit, and I joined for Hazard 3.0, and we've been together since 2008.
I think Pat brought a bit of a smartness to it a little bit, because we were just kind of like, grab this, do that, put this together, mix it in a bowl, and give it to people.
I tried to have a focus on, like, let's really get into the parts, while at the same time really writing silly, fun songs and having a good time and not taking ourselves seriously at all. Our songs are laden with jokes and sexual innuendo. And so we kind of dubbed that at one point intellectual immaturity. So we were able to keep that adolescent, fun, silly feel while having a higher focus on the quality of the music and really making sure that the parts worked.
I mean, the idea of the intellectual immaturity is kind of like all over the actual song that you covered and put together in a video. Can you talk about like how that idea came to you?
For the song or the video?
Let's start with the song.
We decided one Friday night that we were just going to stay in and we were going to write, just do some writing. And Ryan came to my back door, knocked, I opened the door, and he's already dancing and singing a bass line. So that was the bass line. So we just, I said, keep doing that. We didn't even say hi or whatever. We went right into the basement and started recording and both writing, both contributing ideas. And it was a really true collaboration of us coming up with that song together.
It's really one of those moments where you can't quite believe that what this product came from and you know, how it originated would have ever, you know, whatever it was that happened at that moment, Pat had the foresight to say, don't stop this. Let's go now. Capture it now. It was one of the most organic processes that we've ever had in this band to make a song. So I don't want to say effortlessly, because we did have to put a lot of work in it, but at the same time, it didn't feel like work. It was like this, whatever I was doing was coming from inside of me through some type of channel, and it hit him in the right angle. At one point in time, you know, we were in the basement doing this thing, and we just had so much coming out. And Pat was just like, okay, now we got to stop. Now we got to hold on a second.
We figured out that especially towards the end, all the little sections could all be interchangeable. They all work one into the other.
You know, oftentimes, you know, when you hear the final product, you hear horns, you know, bright sounds and things. Well, usually before it gets to that point, it's just him and I singing in those parts. And so on recording, it would be the horn part that we're trying to sing. And I'm singing this to Pat. And then Pat's like, oh, well, how about this harmony? And he's singing over it. And so it's just like walls of Ryan and Pat in your ear. And then finally, Pat was like, we have a keyboard right here. We can just MIDI this.
The song also became a lot of fun once we realized that it was an old kind of straight soul rock number from the 60s. You know, I mean, we call this an Otis Pickett song or a Wilson Redding song. It's just once we had the sketch of the bass line and some of the verse and chorus sketches, I got on the drum set and was trying different drums and obviously like a rock, you know, a drum line didn't work with that. And finally, I was just like, how about just the snare, just this old soul?
Yeah.
I call it the soul beater, the straight beat or whatever. And that was it. Yeah. Just the steady stare and, or snare. And that really, like, made the song.
How does writing something like that actually kind of, like, influence then the way you approach your music together afterwards?
Well, we wish that every song we wrote was that song, basically.
That night when we created that song and we knew we had a sound that we wanted, I think that definitely helped Pat and I realize that this is the type of sound we want to go for. We don't want to put ourselves in the box and say this is the only thing we're going to do. But I knew from deep down in my heart that I knew that this soul sound here, which we have, is something that I want to continue doing.
So then how'd you kind of like translate that into then making this video, which is really well put together and really fun?
The video game came together in one day, actually. So less than a day. So the original plan was just where we practice in Ryan's basement and, you know, using Gabe's camera. And I was really, because I'm kind of the quality, like, I'm like, guys, we're not going to make anything good sitting in a basement with Gabe's camera. And like, so I was like, I'm fine to enter the concert, but, or the contest, but, you know,
I don't want to waste our time doing
that. Right. You know, so.
Me, on the other hand, I'm the exact opposite. Like, Pat is the voice of reason, if anything, in this band. Me, I'm the voice of optimism and
positivity.
Yep. And I'm just like, dude, we can do this. I'm telling you, we can do this. We have a studio that we don't even use yet. I'll reach out to STL Up Late. You know, Joshua McNew is the one of the owners and producers of STL Up Late, and I immediately reached out to him, like, as we're like having this text battle constantly, you know, and I'm trying to convince everyone to do this, and Pat's like, do we really want to spend the time, you know, we have a show coming up, you know, and I'm like, no, we can do this, I know. And so I'm believing, so I'm texting them one thing and I'm trying to get in contact with STL Up Late crew and Josh McNew at the same time, but all the while, like, leading them to believe that I already had this plan, you know, I already talked to folks and things like that. And so it all came together. So I ended up going to STL Up Late early, like 2 hours early. and I sat with Joshua McNew and said, all right, here's the deal. And came the rundown of the contest, what we're trying to do. Josh McNew from there just has this machine of a mind going. And he's like, we'll put the desk here. We'll set the band here. We'll put the lights here. And he's like, go ahead and sit down for a moment. Let me pull this camera over. And just, I mean, by the time they got there, the set was already ready. Josh already had an idea as to what he wanted to do. The last contribution was, you know, if you remember the video at the beginning, it's just Pat and I talking, and then the music comes in, and then the lights come up.
The video was evolving we wrote the little intro script ahead of time. We had the horns originally behind
the
stage.
Yeah.
We moved them up front, especially once we figured out all the cool dances they were coming up with. So they did all their own choreography for that. And
I'll give you the credit for the script, actually, because Pat literally, right before I think it was our first or second take, he wrote out this thing. He's like, I'm going to need you to read this real quick and just see what you think about it.
And I was just trying to tie the song together with the idea of the video of the talk show. Like, why are we at a talk show saying you got to move? So, you know, we got to have a reason for that.
Late night
commercial. And then we figured out with Josh about the light cue, which really worked well.
You know, since we are the house band of a late night TV show, honestly, they just kind of told me that. I was like, all right, you're the host, Ryan, so you need to act like a host. And so I was like, well, hosts hold cards. They bounce it around a lot. They talk with their hands. And so everything that you saw on that video that I was doing, I was just basically trying to act like I knew what I was doing as a host.
Including the one eyebrow raise move, which he kept doing. Right, right. So the first time we saw the video, first couple times, we saw it without music, and we just knew it was great, even without listening to it. We just knew we loved the video already, just because watching it without the sound and watching Ryan hold those cue cards, and like, there's nothing on the cue cards, but he's like flipping them.
Scribbles.
He's like flipping them, like he's trying to get to the next verse. You know, he knows the next verse. Yes. He knows what it is. You know, this little head tilt thing and the eyebrow raise and the little looks we were giving each other. It just, it was all perfect. I realized pretty early in working with this man that the camera loves Ryan Stewart.
I still haven't realized it.
What's next for you?
Next, we are releasing an album tentatively titled Bump City with the last few songs that we've been working on. So we've been working on for a while, and we think they're our best songs yet. And so that will be dropping this year. I'm about to work.